Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a highly respected and heart-centered stress and TMS coach based in LA. So here's a few questions for you. What if life could be simpler with more ease and less effort? The goal is to not just get out of pain. It's also getting back to work, traveling again, going back to the gym, socializing with friends and family, waking up without fear nor dread, spending time doing hobbies that you love, feeling safe in your body and in the world. If you want these results and you're tired of where you are right now, Jeannie can help you get there. She'll be with you side by side the whole time, and you'll receive support and tools you need to finally overcome your TMS symptoms. Go to Jeannie's website. That's JeannieKulwin.com, JeannieKulwin.com, and book a free chat with her. I promise she's easy to talk to, and you'll get a ton of value from this free call. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Couple days late, but I promise it's worth it for this week's show. I don't even know what to call her. I guess I'll just say the godmother of TMS, Nicole Sachs, after a couple of years, is back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I have to say that I fanboyed out when I got the text from you the other day about, hey, we should record something. And I told my wife right away, guess who messaged me? And I'm so excited that you're here. So welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Okay, you've got a new book on the horizon, so we're going to talk. About that. There's a rebranding, and there's a lot that's around that. So I want to talk about that. But first, since the last time you've been here, you have moved to the Best Coast, otherwise known as the West Coast. And I don't know, is it because you wanted to be closer to Tupac Shakur, and you weren't interested in Biggie Smalls anymore? Like, what's the? You know, you're a Dodgers and not a Yankees. What is it about?
It's all about the East Coast, West Coast rap battle, obviously. You know, you called me out. I have actually wanted to get over here for a really long time. Before the pandemic, I was in LA several times a year. It's a great place for my work because it's a great hub of openness and innovation when it comes to healing practices. And of course, my partner, Lisa, who many of you know from, or many people know because they listen to my podcast, who is my partner in life, but also in work and helping me take this message to the global community, is LA based. So it's sort of like my son went to college. My oldest one was almost graduating from college. So I only had one child left in my house. And I thought, let me strap her to my back and finally move west. And we have been here a year and just like loving LA, loving the change and the openness and the expansiveness that it's brought to our lives and to my work.
It's so crazy because we would have first recorded, I should have looked at the exact date. We would have first recorded almost exactly 7 years ago. Wow. And at that time, your oldest daughter presumably was still in high school, right? Because she's still at Michigan. Is that right?
She just graduated from Michigan. So 7 years. I mean, yeah, she was just like a freshman.
Yeah. And I was literally, okay, so she just graduated. I was literally about to say, hey, now we have a connection because the University of Washington, which is where I am, and the University of Michigan are now in the Big Ten together. So now you and I are sort of connected, but she's gone. And so I guess it doesn't even.
Hey, listen, when you go blue, you never go back. Yeah. She will always be someone who went to Michigan.
Good for her.
I'm still there with you.
That's awesome. Okay, so you've got this new book coming out in February, available for pre-order today as people are listening to this. I would say so Sarno's name has been mentioned the most on this show by guests and things like that. By far and away, the second most recognizable name is your name. I know that you know, but the number of people that you have touched across the world with your first book and all the work that you've been doing over the last 20 years is monumental. It's incredible. And a thing that and we don't have to get into a deeper discussion about this, but a thing that I think is so impactful, and the two things I hear the most is like, A, hearing the perspective coming from a female, two, the perspective of a mother. And those are just two perspectives that I feel like a lot of the other books just simply don't have. So you've had this successful book. You've talked about journal speak. You have all these mediums. I saw the video that released this morning on Instagram, and I'm going to link that because it was amazing. I was actually doing deadlifts while I was listening to it. So it fired me up, right? I was listening to it. What's with the new book? What made you want to do it? Is this meant to be a conduit to the, like a sequel to the second one? Is it something totally different? Talk about it.
Well, you know, what happened was this, as all of you guys know, as fans of this work, this has not historically been the standard of care in the Western medical model, to say the least, right? This is an innovative, this is a, you know, practice. This is something that I always see as a bottom up form of healing. You're not going to hear about it from big pharma. You're not going to hear about it from the surgical model, but you will hear about it from thousands and thousands of people around the world who are taking back their own lives. And to me, that's the most powerful thing. The thought of creating a movement, the thought of creating the one thing that actually changes the world, which is, you know, hordes of people at the same time saying, no, I actually want better for myself. So that is sort of what's fueled me for over these 20 years. I self-published my first book that definitely got a lot of play, but there's only so much play you can get without the validation of certain societal institutions. And so as I kind of moved through my career and the podcast got bigger and my Instagram started reaching more people, I got the attention of Penguin Random House, which was very, very exciting. So the reason this book is such a big deal is it's called Mind Your Body, and it is going to be translated into every language you can think of around the world. It is going to be, you know, for wide release, and it is going to touch people in a way that I really haven't yet been able to. And I think the biggest reason why is when you have a book, and by the way, to answer your question, it is not a sequel to my first book. My literary agent calls this my flag in the moon. It is literally best practices from 20 years of doing this, from my private practice, from working with thousands of people around the world through the podcast and all the other ways that I've communicated, and my online communities. Like, I've just taken the best, most clear and concrete instructions and steps and strategies to live in the solution and make this work a reality to transform your life. And it's also like at the end of every chapter is somebody's success story. You know, the youngest person is 16, the oldest person is in their 70s, and it's from all around the world. Like, it's no matter who you are, no matter what you suffer with, you will find yourself in these pages. And it's just, I'm just so proud of it. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity with a big five publisher because of the reach and because of the way that we are going to, as Lisa says, blanket the planet with this information. You know, Eddie, and I know you know this, I hear from people all around the world, none of whom I've met, and they write me the most insane emails, and they say very, very emotional things, like that people were feeling like at the end of their rope, and they were actually not sure if they were going to choose to carry on because of how hard it was to live in chronic pain. And they write me these letters and say, you know, I found your work on Google at 4 o'clock in the morning in my worst moment. And I'm writing you 5 months later. I've been doing the work. I'm back to work full time. I'm pregnant with my second child, like these insane stories of people's lives. And all I think of is I want everyone on the planet to know this work is an option for them. And that's why I'm so grateful to be on your podcast today and for you waiting your 2 days and taking the opportunity to be with me on the day of my book launch, because for every person that pre-orders this book, even though they're not going to get it till February, it lifts the algorithm and it allows more and more people to have access to it. And it's like, I am on a freaking mission, as you might have guessed.
Yeah. So tell us about it. So you mentioned the podcast, and I'm sure it's hard to imagine anybody listens to this that doesn't know who you are, but just in case they don't, you host The Cure for Chronic Pain. You wrote The Meaning of Truth, which in a lot of, I see it as a memoir that has some instruction. I don't even know if I would even call it that, but I think that sort of the main thing I would, so I did a pod like years ago after I read your book, and I was talking about how I referenced 8 Mile before we, like the Eminem movie before we started talking. And the way that I see journal speak is it's a rap battle. It's the final scene from 8 Mile where B-Rabbit is just unloading all the truths about somebody. And so where I think that a lot of times when a lot of us in this world maybe think about journaling, we're sort of like telling us, you know, here's what happened in my day, here's this and that. Whereas yours is almost like a, I've also called it promo class, but you're basically unleashing everything that you want to say to somebody but can't, giving yourself the permission to do so. Do I have that correct?
You absolutely do. I like to call it an unbridled rant. Mm-hmm. And I love that scene in 8 Mile. Yeah. And that music behind it, it revs me up. I play it when I'm running.
Yeah.
But yeah, so here's the best way I could describe it. The reason people are in chronic pain is because their nervous system is in long-term fight or flight as a result of their emotional reservoir overflowing. We all repress things. We repress them in childhood. We repress them throughout the day. No one who is human could possibly feel every feeling that occurs to them during the day. We'd be paralyzed. We would be overcome. So repression, which is a defense mechanism, is called that for a reason. It defends us. It helps us live. So there's nothing wrong with the fact that we repress our emotions, but when they reach maximum density in what Dr. Sarno calls this reservoir of emotions, rage and shame and despair and grief and terror and all the things we can't completely feel because we would freak out, when the emotional reservoir overflows, what happens is the nervous system clicks into sustained fight or flight and pain signals are fired as a source of protection. It's really important that people understand that pain is protective. That's why we have a biologist on my team, because in terms of evolutionary biology, the reason you feel pain is so you know to take care of yourself. So like a fun fact is that if you're running and you break your ankle, but you're running from a predator of any kind, someone chasing you with a gun or a saber-toothed tiger, whatever it may be, you can run on that broken ankle with no pain until you reach safety. Your nervous system will withhold the pain signals because you need to get out of a survival risk. You know, you got to save your own life. Once you get into the cave, the proverbial cave, and you are no longer in imminent danger, your ankle will blow up with pain. Why? Because your nervous system is saying there's something that needs to be attended to here, because if you don't do it, you can either die or be crippled or, you know, whatever it is. Our chronic pain is the exact same thing. Although we are so much more evolved, the nervous system is still a primitive system that's number one responsibility is to save your life. So if you're going to the family reunion and your Aunt Edna is going to tell you, you know, what a terrible parent you are, or if you're going to the bank and you're going to remember how low your bank account is and how terrified you are, you won't be able to provide for your family. These are not actually survival risks, but your nervous system doesn't know that. And when your repressed emotional reservoir is up to here and something triggers it to overflow, like just walking into the bank, it could be completely something that has like no outward risk. What happens is your back seizes up or your migraine starts. And what happens? You walk out of that bank, you go home, you get into bed. And I like to call this safe in the unsafest way. Your nervous system thinks you're safe there, but of course, that's no way to live. And so the reason journal speak works is because it is an unbridled rant. I teach it in this book very, very specifically. There are 3 chapters on journal speak in the book. I also teach it.
The new book.
Yes. Okay. The new book, Mind Your Body. And I teach it on my podcast and I teach it on my YouTube channel. And you can go to my website, NicoleSachs.com, and you can get any, you know, teaching reference that you want. There's courses and everything. The point is, you do this unbridled rant for 20 minutes a day. What you do is it's like taking a ladle into your reservoir and dumping it out. So it goes down and down and down. And then the pain signals just stop firing because they are meant to protect you and there's nothing to protect you from.
The title's very clever, by the way. I see there's a foreword by John Strax, friend of the show, who's been on before. So talk about so by the way, NicoleSachs.com will also take you to yourbreakawake.com.
Yes.
Talk about the breakawake, like being the brand now. Where did you come up with that? What's kind of the origination behind that? And then I want to hear a little bit about the breakawake team. I know you mentioned the biologist, but talk a little bit about the team.
So here's what happened. I founded this brand and I want to say it was like 2017. And I was like, what am I going to call it? And I was talking to one of my good friends and I was like really, really not understanding what I had to do here. And she was like, okay, let's boil it down. What do you do? And I got really frustrated and I was like, I have the cure for chronic pain. And she goes, that's what you need to call it. And as much as I wasn't sure if that pigeonholed me, because so many people, Eddie, as you know, wouldn't necessarily identify in being in chronic pain just because they get a couple migraines a month or, you know, their back goes out twice a year. But you and I both know we want to reach those people because they don't need to be limited by the stuff happening in their body. But I chose that title for my brand because it really was the easiest way to explain what I was doing here. And I'm glad I did. And I'm glad the podcast will always be the cure for chronic pain because so many people, like 90% of people who come on the podcast for success stories are like, I don't know, I was really desperate, so I typed chronic pain in my podcast app. Like, and I never would have gotten those people. So I'm 100% glad I did. However, what I started to realize as I walked this earth doing this work is that so many people were missing it because they didn't identify as people in chronic pain. And when you get rid of your chronic pain, people would write me all the time and say, well, what do I do with this like vacuum in my life? What do I do with like this place where I kind of feel like the pain took up so much space and I don't want to feed it with more unhealthy stuff, you know? So those were two questions that led to Lisa and I founding Your Break Awake. So we really brainstormed and we said, okay, what is this movement really? It's breaking free of old paradigms and the things that we were so sure were true, like all the Western medical model stuff, or that, you know, you have to be a certain way or you're no good if you're not like a nice person, all the things that were the things that potentially were keeping us limited. You need to break free of those old paradigms to wake up to everything that's available in your life. So that could be cessation of chronic pain, but it could also be like, I want better relationships, or I want to parent more easily, or I want to understand my purpose for my career more, you know, whatever it is. And so we came up with Your Break Awake, which is a way to open yourself up to what do you need to break free from so you could wake up. So that was the origination of the brand. And so what we're doing in expanding it is, of course, we are first and foremost here for people suffering with chronic symptoms of any kind. Like that is the door through which everyone needs to walk. Because if you're suffering, even if you just have a lack of joy for life, a low-level depression, you're just anxious all the time, you're not going to be open to everything that is available in your life. So it's from everyone, from someone who's bedbound, someone who's just like, isn't life supposed to be more beautiful than this? Like, and everyone in between. And of course, under the TMS umbrella, so many symptoms reside, you know, migraines, fibromyalgia, neuropathy, back, neck, shoulder, knee, hip pain, you know, irritable bowel, pelvic pain. Anyway, there's so much. There's so much. And essentially, all that to say, once all of that pain goes away, there's so much content. Also, like, what do we want to do with our lives? How do we want to live? You know, I think everyone deserves a big life in whatever way that means for you. Everyone deserves to be completely self-actualized and have access to what makes them feel joy and presence. And so that's kind of what it's all about.
So the Breakawake team, talk a little bit about this. And I want, and Phil DeLahaye, another friend of the podcast, who's been on here before, I've got interest in all four of these people that are listed here. Can you talk about what the element of the team is now, or what it's going to be in the future? Are they contributors to the book, or tell us about the Avengers of chronic pain here.
Okay, so first of all, this is just the beginning of the team. We are on our way. Christina Sarno and I created a new practitioner training.
Can you tell us who, I know who Christina is. Can you tell us who Christina is? Because I think this is one of the coolest things I'd heard in a long time, was when I saw that, my gosh, this is like, it's like LeBron James and Michael Jordan combining. What is that?
So Christina Sarno is Dr. John Sarno's daughter. She is a dear, dear colleague and friend of mine. We've known each other since the early days when we were both in our late 20s. And I used to come to the Sarno panel at NYU and speak alongside her father. And she became a therapist, thriving practice in New York City, doing mind body work. I did all the things I did. We kind of kept in touch a little bit. We came back together about 2.5 years ago with my partner, Lisa, and the three of us came together and we're like, all right, what do we want to do? We want to create a practitioner training that will train, because everyone's always calling us and saying, can you take new patients? And like, there's only so much anyone can do. And of course, I don't even have a private practice anymore because I'm busy writing books and teaching and traveling and all the shit I do. So, we came together and we spent like 18 months writing this training. And that's also available on my website. It's at sarnosax.com. And it's also listed under the education on your Breakawake. And essentially, the reason I'm mentioning Christina is because the team that we have right now, which I'm about to talk about, is just the beginning. Because as people start to train in this work and bring it to their schools and their communities and their medical practices and their private practices and their alternative practices like acupuncturists and physical therapists, we are creating a movement and we're going to have a practitioner directory. So our team is going to be bigger than you can even imagine. But right now, our current team had the following goal. We want to embody everything about healing. So, of course, I'm here as a psychotherapist, as a mind-body clinician, as someone who's been doing this forever. We brought on Phil. So Phil is an expert in internal family systems, a really, really important congruent practice to understanding the places inside of us that need a little extra care and to need to be heard and seen in order for this emotional reservoir to go down and for us to relieve ourselves of chronic pain. So we brought him in. Then we have Monica. So Monica Leah is a somatic experiencing, somatic tracking practitioner. Because, you know, I always say this is mind-body medicine, but if anyone has noticed, I spend a lot of time in the mind and in the heart. And I'm not a person that has ever done any work in somatics. So we brought her on as an expert to like, how do you embody yourself? How do you live in this beautiful body we have? So that's the kind of stuff she brings. And she teaches with us at Omega. And then Gigi Cockell is a biologist. She has her master's from Oxford. She's out of the UK. She came as a success story. Gigi was bedbound in her 20s with pelvic pain. Could not function and was such a science mind that when her mom came down and humbly asked her to listen to my podcast, because she had found it by typing in chronic pain on the podcast app, Gigi almost threw her computer at her across the room. She was like, you disrespect me? Are you saying this pain is in my head? Do you see how I suffer? It was like a very, like, very low moment. And so I'll tell Gigi's story really quick because it's really interesting. So she was told that she could have an embedded infection. One of the reasons that a lot of people say they have years of pelvic pain, but when they tested her, they found no bacteria. So she was bereft because she wanted a diagnosis, which many of us can understand. She was so pushy that she went to her doctor and she said, I don't care if you don't see an infection. I must have one because I am in 10 out of 10 pain, 12 out of 10 pain, I think she said. Give me the antibiotics. And they were extremely, extremely strong antibiotics. She took the first antibiotic. And within 3 hours, her pain went from a 12 to a 2. And she said she sat there and she thought, and I excuse my language because you guys know I love to swear. She thought, motherfucker, there is no way. Scientifically, she has her master's in biology. Yeah. There is no way that an antibiotic works in 3 hours. It just simply doesn't. Minimum 24 to 48 hours before you feel the effect. And so then she said, I don't care. She goes, I obviously am a miracle of modern medicine. I am the most amazing success story of antibiotics ever known to man. And I was celebrating this. So she was like taking her antibiotics and she was out of bed. 3 days later, the pain came back worse than ever before. She's back in bed. She's back barely able to function. And she said to her mother, what's that podcast? And she started listening to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast and she started doing the work and Gigi reached out to me, maybe probably however long, you know, we don't like to put a timeline, months, however long later. And she said, Nicole, I'm on my knees in gratitude. This is who I am. This is what I study. I'm an expert in, you know, all of this biology. I want to be on your podcast. So the first thing I did was I just interviewed her. And she told an incredible story. And anyone who's interested, you know, I don't know the exact number of the podcast, but look up Gigi Pelvic Pain. We now on my new website, on your breakawake.com, we have a search bar in the on the podcast page. So all you have to do is look up GG or GG pelvic pain, and you will find that podcast, which is great because we never had that before.
It's hold on. It is episode. There it is.
I had it on
episode 83, March 15th, 2024.
Okay, March 15th, 2024. Episode 83.
Oh, she's been on a couple times though, right? Oh, April. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So season 3, episode 33. She was in April 2023 as well.
Yes. And I think the second one was just like a rerun of that one. So either one, you'll get the same important, you know, information. Yep. But the best thing was after I interviewed her, I'm like, this girl is special. Like, first of all, she is also a chronic pain coach doing incredible work over in the UK. She's connected to Georgie Oldfield with Serpa. Like, she's really, really amazing. And she's so well-spoken and she's only like in her late 20s. Like, she's incredible. So we just brought her onto the team. She teaches, she's taught with us 2 years at Omega, and she's, you know, helping us build out all this content to reach people all over Europe. So that's Gigi. And then we have Kate.
I was just going to say that this is the Captain Marvel for me, based on what I had, when you asked how life was going. And I said, my oldest daughter's being kind of insane right now. And I feel like, gosh, Kate, I'm interviewing somebody next week who just wrote a children's book designed for like kids 12 and under about this stuff. I'm like, man, like a teenage voice in this. Tell us about Kate.
Kate is amazing. Okay. So in full disclosure, which we say on the podcast, Kate is Lisa's daughter. However, this is not a Nepo baby situation. Like, she is so intelligent and articulate and such a bright light. And we took her on at the beginning of her junior year as our intern. And basically what we said is, and she had had horrible stomach issues as a child, like debilitating, every test, every supplement, every medication, and no relief. And then oddly, and I say that in quotes, she became really anxious when she was like in 9th or 10th grade, like really crippling anxiety. And all of a sudden she wasn't experiencing that stomach pain anymore. Yeah. You know, very TMS. And so what ended up happening is Kate had no idea what was going on. But when I met her in 9th grade, she was fascinated. She's always hearing her mom and I say, journal speak, journal speak. She's like, what is this journal speak? So I said to her, why don't you start the practice? Why don't you see how it changes your life? And if you feel like this is something that really, you know, speaks to you, maybe you'll come on and start working with us. And she journal spoke like a warrior. She's so good at explaining it. She's so good. She brought her friends. We had a focus group with her friends. She and I recorded a podcast talking about her experience. Her anxiety was gone. Her stomach issues have not returned. She is an incredible girl. She's now a senior in high school. She spoke at the Omega Institute and brought the crowd to their feet. And like talking to them, like how to help their children and all this stuff. It was amazing. And once we did the first podcast, we reached teens from all over the country were reaching out to us, and we ended up mentoring some of those teens. And then she and I interviewed one of those teens. Her name is Catherine, on a further podcast. So essentially, Kate is the beginning of what Lisa and I want to do, which is really bring this message to Gen Z. Because of Kate's podcast, a whole group of Gen Zs came to, hey, Gen Zs, I'm such a loser. I'm so 52 years old right now. Young people, I don't know. I don't want to call them teens because they're not. They're like in their early 20s. But young people came to Omega, and we ended up actually having a group that Kate led that we videoed. And we videoed Kate's talk, and that's going to be available soon on the website. So we are really working to build this out because, Eddie, as you know, kids are rife with emotions and big feelings and big reactions. And if we don't know how to educate them on what's happening between their nervous system, their brain, and their body, they're going to end up in pain, because that's what the human body does. It helps us out by giving us something we can, quote, control.
Yep.
And so anyway, that's the teen portion, and it's been really amazing.
I can, of course, ask you this offline. I don't know if Kate would be open to doing an interview. I would be over the moon if she'd be willing to talk about some of this stuff.
100%. She's so amazing. I told Kate last night, I was talking to her. She's applying to college now, and so it's a very stressful time. And I said, go to college, do your thing, you know, have an interest, have some jobs outside of college. And I said, when we have this beautiful movement, this empire all over the world that people are healing, I said, you come and be our CEO. Yeah. Because she's so incredible. So yes, I will tell her, I will play her this episode when it comes out, and she will 100% want to come on the podcast.
Awesome. Cool. Can you run us through, and I know it's still, you know, there's a few more months. I'm going to do the pre-order, and I encourage all of you to do it too. There's still a few more months before it's out. Can you just talk about the structure of the book, how it was written, or how it's written, kind of how it's structured, why you decided to go that way? I know you said it's not meant to be a sequel. So I imagine it's not a memoir as much as it's probably a lot of other things. Can you talk about the structure behind it?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So when I got this opportunity with Penguin Random House, I sat down with my inner circle and we were like, okay, what do we really want to do here? And my literary agent, who's just incredible, she's been in publishing for like 25 years. And she said, I want to tell you something that you might not like right away, but I'm going to say it. And like, I promise you it's a good idea. And I was like, what? She's like, I want you to write it like a cookbook. And I was like, okay. I'm like, I'm open. Say more. Yeah. And she said, by the way, also Dr. Sarno completely changed her life when she was in her 20s. So she was like a major, major fan already. You know, you didn't have to convert her. And she said, here's the reason why I want it like a cookbook. I want it to be so easy for people to open this book and from soup to nuts, from A to Z, to know exactly what they need to do to heal. And I was like, that is a fantastic idea. So although I don't want to say it's simplified, because it's not, every single thing is there, it takes you through everything. So it starts with the brain science. It starts with Mind Body Medicine Explained and a whole chapter on the brain science to really educate you about what is happening in your body. And then it moves on to setting the table for the best practices. We talk about resistance. We talk about boundaries. We talk about setting up a ritual for yourself. So like we set you up for success. And then there are three chapters on Journal Speak, really what to do, really how to hold yourself accountable, really how to show you that. And you know, Eddie, I love when I make an analogy to exercise and to fitness, because it actually is a perfect analogy. If I wanted six-pack abs and I went to the gym and I hired a trainer and that trainer took me through every exercise, spent a good amount of time with me, really gave me a roadmap on that first day and said, you want this, you can have it, this is what to do. And if every day after that I glanced over the list and maybe I looked through the window of the gym, my body is not going to change, right? Yeah. This works if you work it. And so what I do in the Journal Speak chapters is I really explain. I give prompts. I give motivational talks. I give exact steps on how to do this properly so you actually will do it. Yeah. Because you have to do the work in order to see the results. And then the third sort of big section of the book is understanding what it actually means to practice self-compassion, to understand inner child work, and to understand what it means to forgive yourself. And the things that really cause a tremendous amount of input to the reservoir, because we just constantly live as our own worst critic. We constantly live beating up on ourselves and, you know, wanting to be perfectionists. And like, that is just an old game that we need to leave aside. So, and then the final is just like me being the freaking crazy cheerleader that I am, like showing you through my energy and through my passion, like you can do this. And that the end of every chapter is a success story. So it brings you along. I'm just so super proud of it. And that's why I'm making such a big effort to help everybody know about the pre-order, because I never knew about this till I got involved in publishing, that if you don't get pre-orders, the run of the book, when it does come out in February, is very low. And then like, we don't have a big chance.
Yeah.
So it's like right now, even though you're not going to get it in February, if you ordered it, it elevates it for everyone.
Where's it going to be available?
Everywhere. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So if you go to my website, it'll link you to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, independent booksellers, Walmart, Target, like it'll link you and you can pre-order it anywhere. I'm recording it for Audible in November. So yes, it will be mine.
I was going to ask you about that next, because there's a big difference to me. I bought Sarno. I bought Healing Back Pain on Audible, and I bought Mind Body Prescription on Audible. One he narrates, one some other dude narrates, and it is a huge difference.
completely agree. I sometimes click the sample of an Audible book, and if it's not the author, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear from the voice of the person that wrote those words, and you know I'm hyped to read it.
Did you do, I haven't looked, I should have looked. Did you do a voiceover for The Meaning of Truth?
I didn't, and here's why. And I still might, because I still feel like that would be a really good thing to offer people. Because I self-published it, there is no Audible. There is no, you know, place where somebody was going to set me up to do it right. And just because I've been so busy, I always feared that if I just recorded it, like with my mic in my podcast studio, somehow I would screw it up. And like, I just, it's like technology is involved and all of that stuff. So I have not yet done it, but I will say that is definitely something once I really launch this book into the world, maybe, you know, at the end of this year, early next year, I would consider it, because I know that people really want that, and they've written to me over the years. But no, this is the one. Mind Your Body will be Audible and me.
So something that I'm curious about, because there's quite a few people that are in this realm that have written multiple books. Let's just take Sarno, for instance. There's four books. And I feel like there's a big difference if you were to read the very, very first one, which I think came out in early 80s, mid 80s, and then the last one, which I think was 2012. That's a long gap or a long period of time between first publish and last publish. I tell my, because I coach girls soccer, and they're 10 or 11 years old now, but I've been coaching a lot of these same girls since they were 6 or 7. And a lot of what I talk to them about is like, all this stuff is cumulative. Like, it's not like you went through a season, you did your practice, and then that's all that, you know, that's all that there is. These things all build on top of each other. You've had several years now where it's in between The Meaning of Truth has been released and this book has been written. So can you just, and this is putting you on the spot, is there a couple of things that you can point out, things that you've learned in continuing to practice, continuing to be so vested in all of this stuff for so many years? What are a couple of the highlights that have just come to fruition in the last few years that you've learned about this or that have come to mind or things you've pursued or whatnot? I'm very curious about like the evolution of your, you know, your knowledge and your expertise in this that has come since the last book was published.
It's a fantastic question, and I really have a really important answer for it. When I first wrote the book, and I love The Meaning of Truth, I'm not going to slam it, but it's just so desperate. Like, I'm like, please listen to me, please listen to me. Yeah. This saved my life. This will save your life. Can you listen to me? Like, it was a little bit of that. And I think the reason why I was doing so much, and let's just call it begging, is because I knew that you had to believe that this work was the truth, was an option for you, or was transformative for the journal speak to really work. So I was like, believe me, believe me. That works. Honestly, it does work kind of remarkably well for a lot of people because I was so passionate and I was leading with my own story, but it's not really what people need to hear. What people really need to hear is a very thought out, concise explanation of why they should believe. You know, Dr. Sarno's major quote around this is, my prescription is knowledge. And what I've really learned between publishing that and publishing this and writing this is why the first third of the book is dedicated to believe and to setting up best practices. The brain science is, first of all, being understood more and more every year. The things that I teach, Dr. Sarno couldn't have taught. He didn't have access to the studies that are being conducted all over the world right now. One recently came out from Harvard. They're doing them at USC, University of Michigan. I just in the past couple of weeks partnered with a physician in the UK who is speaking at the UN General Council next week and is partnering with doctors at Dartmouth, Harvard, Brown, Yale, and they're doing a study of breast cancer patients going through traditional chemotherapy. So the control group will be just patients going through their chemotherapy, and the experimental group will be people going through chemotherapy and then a mind-body regime, which I can't announce it, but it's going to be myself and three other very prominent mind worldwide names in mind-body medicine, but not my, I'm doing my modality and they're doing different. And it's going to, I think, really rock the world because I think it's going to show how much outcomes are improved. Even if you need traditional medicine, which of course I believe in traditional medicine, this also really matters. And so really a long way to say that the reason this book is different is because it takes the time to give you that prescription of knowledge, to really help you understand what's going on in your body and set you up so that when you do the work is going to have a tremendous impact.
It brings to mind, there is a fantastic psychotherapist in Arizona, Liz Wallenstein. I don't know if you've ever come across her name, but she was a psychotherapist in this TMS realm, diagnosed with cancer, cancer survivor, but she was using Sarno TMS principles to aid in her recovery of that. Still went through traditional radiation, chemotherapy, but she, and I've interviewed her a couple of times, she credits a lot of that recovery and the process of the recovery. And I'm going to use the word ease, but it's not what I mean. I just mean her being able to get through it in that way to doing the things that you're talking about, which is, you know, pretty incredible to hear. I guess another thing too that I'm thinking of that you just had just brought up, and all the studies and the data and such that's come up in the last few years, the first time that you and I would have done an interview, the Boulder back pain study was still, I think, 2 years away from even being published. So we're just talking about in the last 5 years, there being now a lot of data, and then just greater collective conscious. Like, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Zoe had asked me a question about something. It was going somewhere, doing something or something. And I was like, I just don't really feel that good today. And she goes, well, maybe you're anxious about something.
Nice.
Get out of my face. Okay. But it's definitely out there. And I also notice in both girls, because Audrey's only a first grader and they do social emotional courses and units, and I'll look at some of the material, and it's a little bit surface level stuff. You know, it's talking about a tummy ache and it's talking about a headache, and but like, it is addressing that stuff. Whereas I would say, you know, 10 years ago, if the girls were 10 years older, I don't know if I don't know if you saw that kind of training with your kids
No way. That's amazing. That's so great to hear. And, you know, my hope always is, in my small way, whatever I can do, I want to play a role in elevating that and giving people ideas. That's why when Christina and I started the Sarno Sack Solution, we were like, we're not just going to aim it at practitioners. Like, we want teachers to take this course and bring it into their classrooms. Like, it's so exciting.
So we're wrapping up. I promised you 40 minutes and this is we're at 41:05. So I definitely appreciate you being here. I'm going to link all of this stuff in the show notes, but what am I not asking, or what do you want to wrap with? And then even as we say goodbye, stay on the line, because I have a couple of questions offline. But what do you want to wrap with? What have we not talked about?
I mean, I feel like we've really covered a lot. I guess all I want to wrap with is, this is not just about me. And this is not just about you, Eddie. Like, these pinpricks of voices, like the light that are carrying this. This is about everyone. Like, I am so passionate right now about creating a movement. That is the thing I want to leave you guys with. And that is the reason why I got so excited about this kind of worldwide ability to translate the book into languages and everything like that. I believe, this is going to maybe sound a little crazy, within my lifetime, so I'm 52. So let's give me, if I'm lucky, 40 more years. That this work will change the face of the medical model. That just like 10 years ago in my kids' classrooms, nobody was talking about the anxiety's connection to a stomach ache or whatever, or emotions connection to a stomach ache, that 10, 20, 30 years from now, you will walk into your doctor's office with any chronic symptom, and there will be options, obviously, for Western medical care. I always want that, but there will be equal and accepted and promoted options of mind-body medicine, of looking at the social-emotional stress levels of your life, that this is going to become the standard of care. And I am just wanting to be part of it. So, and I also want to say, because I just, you know, you and I are buds, and I can say this, like, be super casual on your podcast. It is a deep cringe for me to have to promote myself in any way. I don't like it. And it makes me uncomfortable. But the reason I'm taking the risk and being vulnerable about this whole pre-order thing is I do not want to waste this unique opportunity I am being given. And if I am just more open and more willing to just say, I have put myself out there in many ways for free for years and years and years. I'm like asking people to do this one thing, because if enough people do, we are going to make a crazy difference, and we are the movement, and you are the movement. So I guess that's the thing I'd like to leave with, because I always want to be honest. You know me, I'm nothing if not honest.
Yep. I mean, I don't think it's cringe, and I identify cringe as good as anybody out there, I think. And I don't see that at all. No, I think this is, I think it's lovely. I think it's important. And so, yes, thank you for being here. Maybe at some point in the future, as we get closer to the release or post-release, we should maybe have you back and talk about it, but I'm very curious to see kind of how all this goes. I will place my pre-order. I told you, we don't do video with this podcast, but behind you, the book is on display, and I saw you pulling it out of the packaging when you had got kind of the first copy. And I was just thinking, like, 6 months has never felt, or 5 months has never felt so far away, but I guess that's something to look forward to for 2025.
Just so you know, because this is something I did forget to mention when you said maybe once the book comes out, we can all talk about it. One of the incentives for pre-ordering now is you get to come to this thing called Mind Your Body Con, which is going to be like a virtual worldwide book club led by me. And I'm going to spend hours and take everybody through the book in like mid to late February once it releases and everyone has a chance to read it. So like that I'm really excited about. And Eddie, I would be thrilled around that time to come back on your podcast and do the same here. Just like get the book open and let's talk about it. Let's get people to send in questions. I'm super pumped.
So is Kate going to give that to her friends? Or do they get to see it 5 months in advance? Because there's two copies. So there's at least two copies in your possession.
I'm the author. Yeah. I get a few copies. No, Kate actually does not have it for her friends. We don't have that many. But come the time of order, the time of release, we're going to have tons.
Awesome. I'm not a huge reader. I've read all of your work. I've read so many people. I can't remember the last time where I had anticipation for the release of a book. I'm just not my mother's a reader. Zoe's a reader. My dad's a reader. I'm a TV guy. I'm very much looking forward to this.
Thank you, Eddie. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for being here. Like I said, stay on the line, but thank you for being here.
All right. Goodbye.